This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana on our Labor Day edition. And the phone lines are open. 877-217-5757 is your number. Signature support for Talk Louisiana comes from Brian Lowe Financial. And you can send us an email if you so choose, talk@talklouisiana.org. We start with one of our favorite guests, Frederick Lamar White, Jr., known as Lamar White, and the publisher of the Bayou Brief, lawyer, man about town, making his home now in the great city of New Orleans, native of Alexandria, and has been on the forefront of many big stories over the last decade. And he is here to talk about what's happening in the governor's election. The primary is 40 days away. 40 days, 5 weeks from Saturday, we'll be casting ballots in what is expected to be a low turnout election. But the incumbent John Bel Edwards is in position perhaps to win without a runoff, but it looks like it'll be a close call. And one of the Republicans who's spending money, either Ralph Abraham, the congressman, or businessman Eddie Rasponi, hopes to be the survivor in second place and around for a November 16th runoff against Governor Edwards. As you might expect, during campaign season, we get to see the warts of the candidates, and each candidate right now is answering questions, each of the major ones, about what is being done in their lives and their careers. And in the case of the governor, he now has a record that is almost 4 years long as the governor of the great state of Louisiana. And the story that some of his opponents believe has traction is one involving Medicaid providers. And Lamar White, some folks who got cut out of the deal, aren't very happy about this. Is there any smoke here, or is this just election year politics?
I think it's just election year politics. Thankfully, Governor John Bel Edwards expanded Medicaid, and more than 450,000 Louisianans now have health care as a result. I think it's sort of disingenuous.
Well, it's a big part of the budget. I think about $8 billion of the $30 billion is Medicaid-related, and that's what these providers, of course, are attempting to get a piece of. It's very lucrative for those who are involved in this, and you can imagine when two of the five providers are not sent back to the table, they're not happy about it. But they claim that they were doing a good job. Is there any way to definitively determine how good of a job they were doing?
I think that there probably is a definitive way to determine that, yeah. And I imagine that that Secretary Key and the administration can put out metrics that will show us exactly how good of a job they did.
Well, the governor, of course, has great latitude over contracts, and this is true of any Louisiana governor. But this was something that, as Mark Ballard reported, and we discussed last Thursday on this program, this is a Jindal era incident that has recropped.
Right. It involves, who was the secretary that actually almost went to prison about that contract, to reform the way they do contract monitoring.
Well, he was never indicted, but I know who you're speaking of.
It was nine counts, I think, ultimately dropped, right?
Yeah. Well, maybe he wasn't. He was, but
yeah, I think he was indicted. But the council dropped.
He worked in the industry and went away, and the touch.
Yeah, no, I think he works for Trump.
Does he?
I believe so.
well, that's a nice segue. But there are those. Before we get to the latest, and the Bayou Brief has published some what amounts to explosive revelations about Congressman Abraham in particular. But before we get there, some columnists, Dan Fagan of The Advocate in particular, believe the governor is quite vulnerable, that he's on his way to defeat. And there are those who say, look, even if he gets 49.5% of the votes on October the 12th, he's going to lose on November 16th. I don't necessarily subscribe to that thought, but there are those who believe that the key for John Bel to win, John Bel Edwards, is to thwart the opposition on October 12th. Is there some credence to that sentiment?
I think there probably is. There's some credence to that sentiment in any election in Louisiana where, the incumbent gets under 50%. It's not necessarily a great sign, but we have a unique system And in this election cycle, we have two, I think, uniquely unqualified Republican candidates. So I don't anticipate that would be much of a challenge. And I think that governor's done a good job in the last 4 years. So he deserves another term.
Now, why do you think they're unqualified?
Well, first of all, I mean, I've written a lot about both of them. So I don't know who you want to start with.
Well, let's start with Congressman Abraham, since a lot of the revelations that are emanating in his about him are
right.
You're the source. So, and he obviously does have some questions to answer.
Yeah, he does. You know, before we even get into the story about the pharmacies, I mean, one of the questions that I think he should answer right away is, how much money did you donate to charity? Because he did make a pledge that he was going to donate his entire congressional salary to St. Jude's Hospital and to a charity that involves wounded warriors. And we haven't seen any evidence whatsoever that he ever donated a dime to either one of those charities. So that's the first question I think that needs to be answered. The second one, you know, and I just published a story about 3 or 4 days ago. The Washington Post put out a database that allows you to search by county or parish level the number of opioid prescriptions in any given county or parish per pharmacy, too. Breaks down by the pharmacy. Not many people know this, but Ralph Abraham is the owner, or at least was the owner, of two different pharmacies, one in Franklin Parish in Winsboro and one in Richland Parish in Mangum. And those two pharmacies together dispensed about 1.5 million doses of opioids from 2006 to 2012. And this is during the time in which we knew definitively these were very dangerous drugs that were killing people. There's estimates that between 200,000 and 500,000 Americans have died as a result. And they were you know, completely mismarketed to physicians. They were overprescribed, and they were particularly overprescribed in Richland Parish, where Dr. Abraham is, I think, one of four family practitioners. So I think that's a notable thing, considering the news that we've been hearing about these big settlements involving mm-hmm. the Sackler family. And the fact that finally taking at least some responsibility over, putting out a very dangerous drug on the market and lying about its applications.
All right. We're going to talk more about this, obviously, but Rusty Dixon from New Orleans did send a text message, actually an email, to talk@talklouisiana.org saying, "People need to understand that the contract award winners," he's talking about Medicaid, "will not just absorb the 670 employees being put in the unemployment line. Some of the other carriers process claims, customer service, billing, and enrollment in regional service centers, in other states and even other countries, whereas Louisiana Healthcare Connections has these departments right here in Louisiana hiring Louisiana residents to fill those positions. We will be out of work looking for jobs like any other unemployed person. And we are not guaranteed a position anywhere else. Why would the state refuse a contract to their number one MCO, who LDH, Louisiana Department of Health, acknowledges is number one in member and provider satisfaction?" That from Rusty Dixon. What do you think? Is there a valid concern?
I would have to know who Rusty Dixon is.
I'm looking. I thought maybe he identified himself, but I do not see that on
yeah.
this particular email. But
it does sound like someone that may be, you know, anyway, I just have to know a little bit more about Rusty.
Okay. All right. 877-217-5757 is your number, and we're going to cover some ground. We've got some folks waiting in line to talk to Lamar White. Which of the two Republicans do you think is the more potent adversary for Governor Edwards?
You know, it's really a toss-up. I mean, they actually look a lot alike to most people, it's just difficult to say. I think that they're pretty evenly matched. I would guess though that Abraham would. I'm assuming that Abraham will finish second. In responding, you know, it's a complete unknown entity at this point. And I think his campaign is a series of really weird missteps that he hasn't been able to tell a story. So I don't, you know, with however many days left, I'm not sure he can make up that ground.
Well, he has been attacked by Gumbo Pack. Phony Rasponi is the mantra.
I like that.
I thought you might, but it is interesting. They're going after Rasponi, perhaps wishing that if there is a runoff, that it's with Ralph Abraham, or perhaps just trying to beat down Rasponi enough that there won't be a runoff. But we'll talk more about what's going on in the gubernatorial campaign 40 days from Election Day with Lamar White after this 90-second pause. This is Jim Inkster. Pleased to have you with us for Talk Louisiana. Our guest is Lamar White, the publisher of the Bayou Brief. 877-217-5757 is your number. And you can send an email to talk@talklouisiana.org. Lamar White, the publisher of the Bayou Brief, and we're focusing primarily on the governor's primary, which is 40 days from today. David in Atlanta. David, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning, gentlemen. It's always great when Mr. White is a guest, Jim. Mr. White, what do you know about what I think Gator Pack reported that Congressman Abraham was quoted as saying, no one has ever worked their way out of poverty by receiving government handouts? And isn't it true Mr. Abraham has a family farm that has received millions of dollars of subsidies from the federal government?
Is that another revelation about his background? He is a man who's a veterinarian and a doctor and lives in Alto, Louisiana. Which is, of course, farming territory.
Right.
Does he get breaks for being a farmer?
Yeah, over the course of the last 20 or so years, he and his family have received a little bit more than $2.6 million in federal farm subsidies, including subsidies that are specifically intended to prevent people from farming certain crops. So he's actually being paid not to work.
$2.6 million over 20 years, you say?
Yeah, about $2.6 million.
That's $130,000 a year.
That's right, yeah, something like that.
That's more than most people in Louisiana earn in 3 years.
It's pretty significant.
Well, you're on his 1 yard line, and Sue Lincoln has a story on the Bayou Reef. Doc Abraham claims he gave up his practice. Also claims income from new clinic. Is there anything that goes beyond the surface here?
Well, yeah, I think that you know, this we've dealt with this with Bill Cassidy when he ran. There are rules in Congress about maintaining medical practice. You know, you just can't do that. It's just against the rules. So,
but Cassidy did
one
it.
Of the things that what's that?
Cassidy did it.
Cassidy did. Well, there's certain exceptions. You can't. I mean, Cassidy's a specialist, and you can't actually make money. You have to kind of break even, and or you do it for charity. But in any event, you know what happened was that Abraham said, once elected, I will sell my clinic in Mangum. And it appears that he still may own the real estate for that clinic, but that he is no longer practicing medicine at that clinic. However, in 2017, his wife and his daughter incorporated a brand new clinic in Rayville, Louisiana. Guardian Health Clinic. Sue actually went up there and took pictures and documented the whole thing, and it's under their name. Neither one of them are medical professionals. Dr. Abraham is the only doctor on staff. There are two nurse practitioners that are staffers. And what's interesting, too, is that, you know, he missed all of the votes on the flood insurance bill because he was in Rayville practicing medicine.
It wasn't because he's campaigning for governor?
It was actually not. He was treating patients in Rayville.
877-217-5757, Ralph Abraham, congressman from Alto, Louisiana, who is a man of significant success in his life. He's got a lot of titles. He's a pilot. He's a veterinarian. He's a medical doctor, and he's a congressman, and he wants to be the governor of Louisiana, and he's got Lamar White on his one-yard line.
He's also a pharmacy owner.
So I guess he's a pharmacist as well. Is there any conflict between owning a pharmacy and being a doctor? Some people might think so.
I believe that some people would argue, yes, indeed, there is a conflict. And we know that in 2014, during one of those congressional debates, there were like nine candidates. Abraham at some point did say that he prescribed hundreds and hundreds of patients with OxyContin. There aren't that many people in little old Mangum, Louisiana, and there's about, two or three different pharmacies. So I would assume that at least some of his patients went to his pharmacy.
But, Henry at the Country Club of Louisiana has been waiting. And, Henry, you are on the air with Lamar White. Good morning to you.
Well, good morning, Mr. Jim. Good morning, Mr. Lamar. Happy Labor Day. Mr. Lamar, I'm sure you could see by your Twitters that I always enjoy your stuff, too. I was wondering what Mr. Jim just brought up leads into what my question was. This medical practice that Dr. Abraham supposedly gave up but really didn't, is that one of those so-called pain clinics? Because he might be getting overflow from some of them they've been shutting down here in Baton Rouge lately.
I believe it's just a general, family practice. I don't think it's a pain clinic necessarily, although he does treat a lot of, he talks frequently about treating patients in pain, and obviously has spoken out a lot about opioids and his preference for prescribing opioids. Of course, he's, currently against medical marijuana and other treatments. So I would, but I don't think it was a pain clinic. It's a pain clinic. And also, it was misreported in the Times-Picayune that this was a free clinic. It is not a free clinic in Rayville.
Are you saying that the congressman is against medicinal uses of marijuana?
Yes. He had stated on the record in a debate. Of course, this is 5 years ago, so I don't know if anyone's asked him subsequently. I mean, the conversation has changed in the last 5 years, but he stated pretty unequivocally 5 years ago he was against it.
877-217-5757 for publisher of the Bayou Brief, Lamar White. Phil in Jefferson Terrace. Hello, Phil.
Hello, Jim. And so thank you for being a journalist. I think one of the definitions of journalism is news that someone really doesn't want to get out, something that someone is very much afraid to have other people know about. I'd like to know how many Louisiana politicians get money from the NRA. I think that's a big issue that needs to be out there, and basically the Second Amendment gun rights thing has become a deadly issue.
All right. Thank you, Phil. Now, there have been reports along those lines, and Bill Cassidy is one of the biggest recipients of NRA and other gun lobby money in the country.
And it was actually money that they spent against Mary Landrieu, so it counts as money for him.
Well, and it should.
Right.
It should, but he is a doctor, and some would view that gun violence in Louisiana, especially with the highest murder rate in America for more than three decades every year, that this is something that is a health issue in our state as far as life and quality of life and longevity. But the congressman, he toes the line when it comes to guns, the senator, former Congressman Bill Cassidy, and Dr. Bill Cassidy, and he's a gastroenterologist who believes that we should have lots of guns.
Yeah, he does. I mean, and so do the overwhelming majority of our federal delegation, including Steve Scalise, who of course
that is right,
survived an assassination attempt.
Well, Steve Scalise is kind of like a Vietnam veteran who is a hawk. Well, he has some credibility on this issue, but people like our current president who tucked tail and ran when it was time for him to fight, when he sends young men and women off to places of danger, he's doing something that he has proved definitively he would not do himself.
Yeah, yeah.
But Steve Scalise, what a heroic recovery, and God bless him and his family, and it's good that he is back. And if he had run for governor, he might very well have won, Lamar White.
He may have. I don't know. I mean, I actually read his book, which was written by the same ghostwritten by the same person that wrote the book about the three Americans in the train in Paris. So it's like kind of an action thriller.
We'll talk more with Lamar White, book reviewer and publisher of the Bayou Brief. Now the news with Karen Henderson. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. On deck is John McCann, former McNeese head football coach and former LSU standout. And the Tigers have a big game at Austin, Texas this Saturday as two top 10 teams tangle in Texas for a game of national significance. But we're wrapping it up with Lamar White, and Governor John Bel Edwards is running for re-election. The election is 40 days away. He has two principal challengers in Eddie Rasponi and Ralph Abraham. We've talked a bit about the governor and the Medicaid providers, which is a source of interest for those who are taking aim at the governor's performance in office, and also about Ralph Abraham and his clinics, which have dispensed opioids in big numbers to people in a small area. Now, Eddie Rasponi, you have a story on the Bayou Brief. Lamar White, Eddie Rasponi relies on controversial program that outsources jobs to foreign workers. What's going on here?
Yeah, it's just interesting that Rasponi, a few years ago, had been the subject of three different class action lawsuits for essentially for wage theft, for violation of the Federal Labor Standards Act. And this involved a facility in Texas anyway. It was about 96 different employees, the majority of whom were Hispanic, saying that basically, they were required to get to work early, and they weren't paid for those hours. So in the middle of him settling this case, there are these three cases. He applies for an H-1B visa, which is a controversial program that allows skilled foreign workers to come to America for 3 years and work for a company that claims that they cannot find someone in America with those same skills. We know that, you know, Rasponi's company applied for three of these visas, and I know for certain they were granted one, but I've read other places that it seems like they may have been granted more than one, but it seems somewhat ironic that his whole campaign is anti-immigrant, and, you know, this is a guy that is hired foreign workers, and these aren't jobs that people in Louisiana couldn't do.
Well, the election is noted as 5 weeks from Saturday. Vern Kennedy poll has it at 52 Edwards, 25 Abraham, 19 Rasponi as of last week. Do you see the governor winning?
What's Gary Landrieu polling at?
Oh, he might finish fourth.
Or Livewire Landry,
who's run several times and is unemployed, by the way.
He
campaigns against government benefits, and you got to wonder if he's getting any.
That's
since
really funny.
He does not file a tax return because he didn't make enough money to file a tax return. He's running for governor of Louisiana. Talk about a man of the people.
Yeah.
Maybe he's the guy. But three of the candidates have been wiped off the ballot because they didn't pay their taxes, right?
Yeah, you know, it's happened all down, up and down the ballot this year, it seems like. Lots of disqualifications. Barbara Norton, for example.
A veteran lawmaker.
Yeah, you know, I'll say I think that the Vern Kennedy poll when adjusted, which is what he does, that seems to me, that seems about right. That would be my prediction right now if I were to make one about those numbers.
Well, Mary Landrieu got forced into a runoff in 2002 against Susie Terrell. The senator received 46% of the votes. That's a long time ago, but many mm-hmm. thought she was toast because Susie Terrell got 27, and then John Cooksey and Tony Perkins got about 20% between the two of them. So they thought a little over 20, actually. People thought that those votes would go to Terrell and Landrieu would lose, and she ended up winning 52-48. Is it a given that John Bel Edwards is in dire straits if he does not make it through the primary?
No, because I think that there's a case to litigate against both of these Republican challengers that has not really been fully litigated yet, and I haven't seen any coverage, for example, in The Advocate or The Times-Picayune about some of these major stories involving Rasponi and the visas and Abraham and, you know, the opioid dispensaries. I think a lot of this stuff will come out. It hasn't yet. And once it does, I think it'll be pretty obvious to voters who the more qualified candidate is.
The Advocate and the Times-Picayune are now one and the same, as we know.
Right.
So
right.
There are fewer voices, fewer places to go for information from longstanding journalistic entities, but there's lots of buzz on the internet, and the place that has the most is the Bayou Brief. And Lamar White, we always appreciate your insights, and thank you for joining us on a holiday. And I'm sure
thank you so much, Jim. Happy Labor Day.
Happy Labor Day, and we'll be calling on you a few times before October 12th. Thank you, Lamar.
I'm here. All right. Take care.
Bye.